96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure, we will be sure.
Good morning, welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already, it's Lee Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for letting me join you. I think I know what you guys do at 11 o'clock. But if you're not doing what I think it is that you do when you're doing what you do while you do what you do on Fridays, then I'm happy that you're doing whatever it is that you do and that you're doing that with me. Ha, let's see if you could do that. All right. It's Friday. Bim. The people are tired of working. But later on, we should hear the disco playing. I've been doing my series. I'm sure you know that. But I do want to say a couple of things right out of the gate. I see that the New Day administration is woman empowering. Isn't that amazing? Loretta Butler Turner, former leader of the opposition, former leadership contender for the Free National Movement, and former deputy leader of the Free National Movement, is now an interesting feature in the toolbox that is the New Day administration economic engine driving force known as the SBDC. Of course, it is a government thing, but let's see what it looks like in the New Day. And so that is obviously going to get quite a bit of a press time, I imagine. Also, I see that Shannon Cartwright is endorsing Michael Pinto. And isn't it amazing that Shannon Cartwright is actually considered, in the area of endorsements, because, I mean, he's just Shannon Cartwright. He's a one-time member of parliament. Well, now two times. So it's interesting that they even thought to note his endorsement. I thought that was interesting. But I will say this, for whatever it is worth, and this is me. I am blowing a horn. You hear that? Bom, bom, that's me. I remember a year and a half ago when I said that Shannon Cartwright, Adrian Gibson, and Travis Robinson had better start flipping a coin between themselves as to who would be the leader of the Free National Movement when what I had anticipated would be a whitewashing of the party. I said that it would be three. They ended up with seven, right? I originally thought it would be Bairntown, St. Barnabas, and Long Island that would be left in the House of Assembly. Well, you know, two out of three ain't bad, right? So I was two out of three. I don't know how Travis Ian survived the storm. Man, and I was pulling for him like a wrecker, yeah? But notwithstanding that, Travis is gone. It was Frederick Backelbein who told me, you know, see, you cannot worry yourselves about what it is Travis is doing and being in Grantstown, my brother. I don't care if you build a skyscraper. If the people want the leader gone, you could very well be gone in that same wave. Frederick Backelbein told me that. And so said, so done. So there's no more Travis Robinson. But what I imagine is going to come out of this, and the reason I chuckled to myself when I saw the endorsement by Cartwright, who somehow interestingly got his story in The Guardian as a, you rather junior politician with no real political background, right? Like, all he is the member of parliament for St. Barnabas and former chairman of the Beaches and Parks Authority. That doesn't really, like, in politics, that's not a big deal. Not a cabinet minister, not a chairman of any of the corporations, none of that kind of stuff, right? Because then that would be weighty, and you'd say, oh, well, we've seen his executive ability over there at BEC, and he turned it around. No, he doesn't have that. But he's likable for whatever that is worth. He's affable for whatever that is worth. And I think he is now positioning himself to become the second chair. You see, I know politics when I see politics. I think him and Michael is like friends. They ain't bad drinking buddies. So what this is Michael, I go back you. So when it's my time, you go back me. And we go back each other. And that's how it could be. And so I see we are going to have an ebony and ivory kind of situation going on again with Shannon Onkara and Michael Bintard. You know, we had it with Ingram and Simonette, where Ingram was the pepper and Simonette was the salt. And now we're going to have Pintard, who I'm comfortably sure, I'm not even counting Hiram Lewis in the race. I'm sorry if that sounds whatever. But yeah, I think Hiram could vote for Hiram, and maybe his cousin or his godfather, whoever that is to him, will vote for him. But outside of him and his godfather, I don't imagine him getting another vote past that. So the race is going to be between Kwesi Thompson, if God be God. And I hope he answers by fire and we not have to deal with Kwesi Thompson for 4 years. That is just my hope. This is Levin Miller. And so in a three-way race, with one of the legs not really even being quite a leg, I say Michael Bintard looks like he's going to comfortably pull this off. That is my summation, right? And we know that they're going to go to the remainder of their convention-like thing in, what is it, February or March, early next year. At which time, I believe, they're going to do deputy and chairman. I don't know why. That doesn't make sense to me. Y'all can't hate Hubert Bittis that much that y'all just wouldn't let the bar. Jesus Christ. I mean, Christmas coming. It wasn't going to be no politics going on anyhow. Everyone was going to be home. Y'all dislike the man so much, he can't even be in charge when ain't nothing happening. My goodness. Man, that is terrible. You see what you do to these people, Hubert Bittis? They want you gone so bad, they wouldn't even leave you in charge of the nothing period. We in the desert and you can't be in charge. What a wonder it is. So that's going to happen, right? And then they're going to come out in February. I mean, that must be horrendously bad. In March, they're going to come out. They're going to do the deputy leadership race at the chairmanship race, right? At which time, I imagine, Dwayne Sands is going to come out there with the big stick and say, none of y'all better challenge me for chairman or I'll kill one of y'all. And no one's going to challenge him. He's going to come in uncontested as chairman. Because, I mean, for Christ's sakes, if you let Carl Kalmer run uncontested, and we saw what a disaster that turned out to be, then I don't see why you can't let Dwayne Sands run uncontested for chairman. Because, you know, I at least it ain't Carl. What y'all ought to make sure I do, though, is don't put a Carl nowhere. I don't care what the last name is. I don't care if he named Carlton or Kalek. Do not put anything with Carl in it in your leadership team, because I think the people need time to get past that. So what I predict, this is my prediction, I'm going to start the show in a minute. My prediction is that it's going to be Pintard, what is fella name? Cartwright, Sands. That's going to be the PCS. They can figure out some fancy way to say it. The PCS, look at me flashing the wrong sign. The PCS stream team, that's what they're going to call themselves. And hopefully they're able to restore seriousness in the party, right? Because I think people don't think Mr. Kalmer, Carl Kalmer, and people say I have to try to learn to be more polished in my critique of people. You know, if you hate me, you hate me. Doesn't really matter. I still pay the light bill at my house and nobody ever helps me with that. So, you know, I mean, if you want me to be nice to you, you know, maybe you should pay my light bill. But I still probably wouldn't be nice to you, but at least, you know, I'd have to consider that you paid my light bill. But so what I see happening is people are going to begin to take the party serious again, because for whatever it's worth, people actually trust Dr. Sands in his communications. I don't know if you noticed, during his time as Minister of Health, somehow people just appreciated his communication a little bit more than when the other guy was in the chair. And I also think people see him as a serious person. And I don't think he's going to be as rambly or as babbly or as dyspeptic as the former chairman, or the chairman that will no longer be the chairman once the elections are called. And then, of course, I mean, Shannon Onkara is just a cuddly, huggy teddy bear that everybody loves. And wants to be friends with, and he's friends with the poor, and he rides his bicycle in the ghetto and buys ice cream for little children. Who couldn't love Shannon Cartwright? He will somehow find his way, probably through, I don't know, evaporation to the top, and become deputy leader of the Free National Movement and be one stone throw away from realizing a dream that I know is a dream of his, and that is to be prime minister one day, right? He hasn't told me that. The wind told me that, though. And so that is what I imagine will happen. We will watch it. Again, I think it is interesting that there is an endorsement by Shannon Cartwright. Whoop-de-doo. But for whatever it is worth, he is one of the seven, right? The restless seven, that's what I call them, in the House of Assembly. And so this endorsement counts for something. But it's just so interesting to see that I thought that there would have been a handing over of the Free National Movement after I know they would have been obliterated at the polls. Regrettably, that handing over will not be this cycle. It'll obviously be the next cycle. But I was a long time ago. I was one of the only people saying, when the dust settle and the smoke clear, boy, they better watch out, because the only people that could be there is Robinson, Cartwright, and Gibson. And then they have to flip a coin as to who could be the leader. Well, so now that didn't happen. It's going to be Michael. And I'm sure it's going to be Michael. Like, the only thing Michael Pintad need to do is not have a heart attack between now and Saturday. And he should be the leader of the Free National Movement by Sunday morning. I almost guarantee it. All right. So, is there anything else you want to get out of the way? The Prime Minister is extending his Thanksgiving greetings. I thought that was interesting yesterday at the press conference for the OPM. You know, I told my friends down at the OPM that I don't know how it is to have a press conference at 11 o'clock if they know I on air at 11. You should have it at 12 when Warren on air, because he got 2 hours. And at least that way I could, you know, watch the press conference. But no, I have to come back and watch it after it's already passed. But I see Miss Joy Gibaloo, who's one of my favorite orators. Like, I don't think anybody else can enunciate the way Joy Gibaloo does. I always love hearing her speak. She's so wax eloquent. And who else was there? The Prime Minister was there. And he said, listen, man, for goodness sake, I know y'all can't avoid gatherings and that kind of stuff, but please, COVID real, y'all don't go there losing y'all head. These people who party y'all won't go to can't cook anyhow. It made no sense you go, because now you got stomach bug and COVID. Don't fool with that. The hospital full. Make sure that you are attending parties and adhering to the COVID protocols. This is me paraphrasing. He didn't say any of this. But basically, he said, the holidays are upon us. Don't slack your ride. Try to stay as meticulous as you were during the whole COVID period. And hopefully when January comes, we're all still alive and here. All right? And so those are the things that are coming out of the news this morning. But that's not what I'm here to talk about, because you know I've been talking about how to monetize your social media, how to become a socially paid person, how to become an influencer of any worth. And I've brought one of the smartest people I know to help me with that. She is in studio with me. Latoya, Hannah, Moxie, good morning.
Good morning.
Hold on, wait. We're having a problem, yeah. No, still not yet. Okay, as soon as my producer gets it sorted out, we'll get you on air. But so that's what we're going to talk about. So this morning we're going to talk about how to not have shabby social media. We're going to talk about how to have social media production that is marketable. What are some of the things people look for when they look for content to watch? And that is audio quality, visual quality, lighting quality. What are some of the content that you want to try and pay attention to and focus on to ensure that people can appreciate the product that you provide? Like for me, I don't listen to poor audio quality. Like, so there are some things on the radio I don't listen to because I'm not prepared to struggle through listening to you. You sound like you're in a cream can, and that's why I won't listen to it. Or there is some radio stations that do not have sufficient, I guess, amplifying power. And so depending on where you are on the island, it's kind of blippy and patchy. And I sometimes drive a Japanese car and I don't have the patience or the energy to struggle through that. Also, we're going to talk about how to pick things to associate yourself with in social media. Why? Because you could lose followership by associating yourself with the wrong types of people and the wrong types of things in social media. And one of my personal pet peeves is a lot of times you see people in social media with social presences, they appear to be being duplicated. So they are on every single talk panel every single time. And I don't know how these people become the authority on life and life coaching and life advice, but I get it. They're safe people. They're easy to put or attach to your brand. And that makes them a whole lot easier in order to be able to be marketable and add to your product. So that's what we're going to talk about this morning. I don't know if we're going to a break. I'm not really sure what's happening here. I'm trying to figure it out. But if you are listening to me, we should be going to a break. I'm not really sure what's going on. And then I want to have LaToya join me on the radio as soon as I can figure out what is happening here. I promise you it's not me. I promise you. Okay, so we'll deal with that. I don't know if she's voiced enough to talk about technical equipment, but we'll see if we could talk about a bit of that. And then we'll figure out how to advertise your social media, even though social media is for advertising, because I think that is another really big one. A lot of times people have social media platforms that they cannot get audiences for because they cannot market them themselves. All right, so I hope that isn't too much. We'll pack that all in. I'm going to the break. Don't move. I'll be back. When I get back, I'm going to let somebody smarter than me talk. LaToya Hannah-Moxie is my guest. We'll be right back after this.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won.
COVID-19 doesn't take holidays off, and neither should you. We can celebrate the holiday season while continuing to follow all public health protocols and regulations. We must also remember to wash our hands and sanitize frequently. Wear our masks, cough and sneeze into our elbows, disinfect items brought into our homes, stay at least 3 feet away from others in public, and remain at home when we're feeling unwell. Let's have a happy and healthy holiday.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours, oh, one day.
Welcome back. Thank you so much for staying with me. It's Levin Miller. It's Guardian Radio. That means I'm Unleashed on your radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. LaToya Hannah-Moxie is my guest, and we're talking about monetizing your social media. So let's get right to it, LaToya. Good morning, first of all.
Good morning.
See that? It works.
It did work.
So social media quality and content, right? A lot of times people say they want to be social media influencers. A lot of time people want to have social media sit and talks. Like, for instance, I notice a lot of people are doing this thing now where they kind of just plug up their phone and decide that they can go live, right? And
true.
I want to tell you this. You will never, ever, ever get Levin to watch this because I can't listen to you, the car driving past in the background, the imbalance in the light and the poor audio. My attention span doesn't work that way. All right. So I need a certain level of production quality in order to be able to listen to you. But how important is that in making social media marketable to the point that it's possible to be monetized?
Well, like you said, a lot of people think that they could just pick up their phone and just start recording. And for some people, mind you, it works because the natural content that they bring, which is their personality, their character, their behavior, their attitude, sometimes works for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a following off of social media to begin with.
Okay.
So because if you already have a following off of social media or you are engaging with a particular group or a niche market, they will find you eventually. But that everybody does not have the gift of gab.
Right.
Or doesn't have quality conversation off of, outside of in-person interaction that they can pull a crowd. So you need to first find out what your intent is in building a base or creating content. What is the intent? If you're a business, are you trying to grow leads?
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to build brand awareness? Are you trying to gain new followers so that your social media presence can be stronger? That way you can advertise or promote better. For persons that are bloggers or aspiring social media influencers, again, the question applies to you. What is your intent? Mm-hmm. What are you showcasing? How do you want people to receive you, perceive you? That's rule number one,
okay.
Defining your intent. And then setting a strategy.
Mm-hmm.
You need to set a strategy for your followers, knowing where they can find you. Okay. We talked about this the last time, finding the right platforms for them to find you on.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't want to get too much into this part, but Google Analytics and SEO is a strong part of being seen.
Okay.
Do your research on that. Find tutorials.
Google Analytics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Google search words.
Okay.
Because that defines your ranking. If you have a website, if you have a blog, if you have social media, certain platforms,
mm-hmm.
you get find faster when someone either searches you or if they're already on a particular platform, mm-hmm. you'll show up in their feed a lot faster.
Now, I see there's this new thing that goes around. I think Nahaja has it and a couple. I also listen to, the American or the African that is now on American TV. Why do I not remember his name?
But Michael Blackson?
Not Michael Blackson, the other one. But
the other one.
But it pops up all the time as a reminder. So how do people go about doing that? Because a lot of times, if I am reminded to watch it, I will watch it.
Well, if there's a show that comes on, if there's YouTube,
mm-hmm.
the first thing you need, or a website, you have to subscribe.
Right.
Instantly, once you subscribe to a person's channel or page,
mm-hmm.
you get reminders.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of the way the algorithm and everything is set up.
And so that is one of the important things. And if you're going to be into this, you ought to be pushing people that like to consume your content
yes.
to subscribe.
Yes. And okay. if you have sales websites, once you have people subscribing to those websites, to those pages, mm-hmm. to those platforms, you can even send out email notifications to mm-hmm. them. So you can set all of that up through, depending on what platform it is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, something like Instagram or Facebook doesn't give you that option as a subscriber. However, they do have this little bell to the top right corner
yes.
on Instagram
mm-hmm.
that's called push notifications. So you can have them set. You can press that little bell. You can request that they press the little bell on their platform
mm-hmm.
and push notifications come on. So anytime you post something that they want to see, they'll get a notification that says, Leva Miller has posted XYZ.
Mm-hmm.
So that is one of the best ways to
mm-hmm.
do it. And then Instagram also has IGTV, which is the cousin, I would say, to YouTube. So
mm-hmm.
it has a similar purpose, and you can be monetized on it as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So now let me ask you this question, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say there are some people that started off in social media as normal people.
Yes.
And then they grew into a personality.
Yes.
Right? Or grew into a product where they themselves became the product. And so now, in the early days of their social media, they had one bunch of what I think you call non-quality followers,
mm-hmm.
right? But, you know, you can't delete Yahi off of social media because...
Yes, you can.
No, but because the way the world works these days, when you delete somebody on Facebook, technically you shot at them with a loaded pistol, apparently. If you delete people from your social media, that is the greatest offense on the planet these days.
But do you realize that there are ways of them not finding out that they've been deleted
or
unfriended.
Well, I haven't figured that out yet. But I know that there is now available the options of making pages public so that people can just follow them. You don't need to be added. They could just follow the page.
Yes.
How do people go about getting that done?
So, again, each platform is different.
Mm-hmm.
They give you the options of, we'll start with YouTube. You can, whenever you publish content, you can
mm-hmm.
decide if you want your content to be public or private. And even with it private, there's another layer where you can share with a select amount of people using
mm-hmm.
a link.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do that. And regardless if you have subscribers, there is an option for you to share with everyone except
okay.
so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to do your research
okay.
and dig a little deeper on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that hard with the other platforms. You can go into whether it's your IG story, into your post. One thing I can say is Meta, or formerly known as Facebook,
mm-hmm.
or gotta get used to saying it, they have created really savvy ways to protect people's privacy.
Okay.
So with Instagram, with Facebook, with Meta, you can actually now restrict people from viewing your stories. There are buttons. So when you go into your settings, that little wheel to the right that looks like a little nut and bolt,
mm-hmm.
You click on that, and you either go to story or you go to settings and you go to privacy.
Mm-hmm.
When you go into privacy, you can either block someone, you can restrict someone, and when you restrict them, they will not, they, you can restrict them from either commenting, mm-hmm. You can restrict everybody from commenting. You can turn comments off completely on mm-hmm. a post or on a story. Mm-hmm. You can create opportunities to protect whatever you post to be reshared. Mm-hmm. And this is so important. Anyone that's interested in blogging or social media management, watermarks.
Right.
I have had, personally and professionally, I've had work stolen.
Yeah, I know.
I've seen my face, my body, yeah. everything on bars and lounges. and people would message me and ask me, oh, so are you performing?
Are you promoting now?
Are you performing here? Uh-huh. Are you promoting this? Do you sell there? Right. Do you work for these people? So, and whether it was a carnival costume, a junk, whatever it is, people could take your likeness and your image. So one of the most important things I would say is when you're building and creating content,
watermark.
Make sure you create a watermark. Yeah. And there are free apps that you can download. Free apps with in-app purchases
right.
that you can create your own watermark and put it on a photo. Mm. I will say, be careful of how you splash your watermark on top of your post, though, because you still want your post or your picture to look appealing.
Right.
So if you slap a big LM right. across it, no, it's not going to even be attractive to want to look at.
Well, you know, I pretty much take the point. Recently they had the opening of Parliament, it was.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a picture of the Commander of Defense Force. Good morning, if he's tuning in. Him and his command warrant officer and his aide.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed that the police took, a remarkable picture of the commander and his team, right? And they were very cautious to add the police watermark to it, right?
Uh-huh.
So I stole their picture.
Okay.
I stole their picture and I shared it on social media. And I didn't crop out their watermark because, you know...
Well, so that's a good thing.
Right.
That's actually the right thing.
I know.
That's the right thing to do.
But I also made a wonderful caption and say, see, even the police wants to know what the defense force looks like, right? That is just so that people understand the importance of watermarking.
Yeah.
You watermark your things so that people don't take your content and turn it
and
into
turn
their
it
content.
Theirs. Exactly.
And next thing you know, they're getting
exactly.
paid and you're not being paid.
Yeah.
If you find your watermarked content somewhere, mm-hmm. you now have rights to actually pursue that for, what is it, copyright infringement
yeah,
and that kind
copyright
of stuff?
Copyright infringement. And even sometimes when you deal with content in terms of verbiage, it can mm-hmm. even be plagiarism.
Yeah.
So you have to be so careful and mindful. So whenever you decide to take the likeness of somebody else's image or content, use the watermark mm-hmm. Just so that you are actually creating awareness that it is not your
right.
your work.
Right.
That is actually the thing to do. I would say do not crop the watermark out mm-hmm. When you're using someone else's work because yeah. you're liable to get in problems if that person, especially if that person is a notable person,
yeah.
a notable photographer, yeah, yeah. celebrity or whatever, you have to be so careful when you use.
And we've been down this road before with the yes. with the use of the picture of Celine Dion on the $1 bill. You remember the guy, I think he made $1 million.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you all decide, oh, it's a nice picture, hey, let's put it on the money. And boom, just like that, the fella pick up $1 million. So
but
you all have to give him $1 million of the dollars
yeah.
you all print. Yeah.
But even there's this conversation can go even further than social media. Even the way we use the flag, the way we use public things in public domain mm-hmm. that are sanctioned to not be used without approval.
Right.
Whether it's the coat of arms, like I had this conversation with a friend a while ago, where you would see the coat of arms on T-shirts for Independence.
I put one on my mask.
You're not supposed to do that without approval.
I just imagine the commissioner of police is busy.
Right. But then again, so when you go back to the social media world, which is a virtual world, which is very different from the real world, which mm-hmm. is the Bahamas, which mm-hmm. is a different kind of world all mm-hmm. in its own,
yeah.
The ramifications are different. So
right.
you can't take what we do here culturally and apply that virtually and expect that there's not consequences
right,
for your actions.
Right.
There are rules for everything. But in terms of respecting your privacy, again, these platforms have buttons mm-hmm. in the settings for you to set private versus public. Mm. Now, when you do go public, again, if you're trying to be seen, you have to be very intentional with how you create this profile. So when you go public, you automatically have the opportunity to grow your following and understand the analytics. How are you reaching your people? How many of them you're reaching? So going into your subsettings and creating whether you're a public figure, whether you are an influencer, they're going to give you options to mm-hmm. to define who you are in the social media verse. And then once you do that, they'll have a subcategory to even define further who you are. So if you are a journalist, for instance, the algorithm is set for people who are interested in newsworthy stuff to find you. So that's important. When you go public and you want to be seen, you have to create the perfect profile for your content.
Okay.
And again, I can't express enough. I don't want to get too much into it because that's what they pay me for. But but SEO, search engine optimization. That's what SEO stands for.
Okay.
That is something that is extremely important in understanding to become more seen, whether it's a website that you have or whether you're on a platform. And Google Words. You want to make sure when they put in keywords to find you on Google, you're not on page 15.
Right.
And the more times people click onto your page, the higher your ranking is boosted.
So this is like being Googleable.
Pretty much.
Yeah, because, you know, some people ain't Googleable. You can't find them.
At all.
Nowhere.
Not even page 68. Yeah. Not even if you put in their actual name.
Yeah. And this is why I always tell people that when you get into brand building, one of the things you want to do is decide what your name is going to be in social media right away. You know those people who use Miss Hottie 240 with the body?
Yeah.
We can't find you when we try to Google your name, Cheryl Smith. Right?
Well, that's a common name.
But I'm saying, like, we... Yeah.
You'll find like 50 Cheryl Smiths.
But you spent 20 years as Miss Hardy with the body 240, right?
Yeah.
And now you decide, oh, I want to build a brand where I'm a public speaker and I sell books for a living. Cheryl Smith, noted author and you know, Amazon publicist, right? And all of a sudden now...
Is this a real person or are you making this up?
Okay,
just in case.
And all of a sudden now, I really want to buy Cheryl's book, but I can't find Cheryl because Cheryl spent 20 years in social media as Miss Hardy 240 with the body.
True.
This is why you have to decide what you want to be, who you want to be, so people could find you.
Which is true, but at the same time, Hottie 240 or whatever,
with the body,
they actually have a subsection where you can actually put Cheryl Smith under that.
Agreed. So, but you have to be intentional about that, is the point I make.
Yes.
Right? Like, I tell people this all the time. For whatever.
But I don't know if you want to tell people you're Cheryl Smith and Hottie
240 with the body.
I don't know if you want
to. You know, like I told you about that. You know how I'm
the egos?
Yeah, how I'm kind of churchy going, but I'm kind of not sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like they have a meme that goes around that shows you what your Facebook profile looks like versus what your LinkedIn profile.
Yes.
And they don't overlap.
So,
I don't know.
Let's talk about production quality.
Though,
okay. Because this is a big pet peeve of mine. I tell people all the time, your content is important to you. It's not important to me. It has to be interesting to me.
Mm-hmm.
That is the only way I will consume it. And in order to maintain my interest, there needs to be a certain level of quality, right? So you can't be orange in this thing. You know, like when you all put on the funny cheek makeup and then you sit underneath this hot, burnt orange light. Now you all look like something from the Muppets. That's not going to work.
You're funny.
That's not going to work, right? You need to make sure that the lighting is decent. You need to make sure that you all have lapel mics, right?
Yes.
And this is what
not necessarily lapel. A boom mic will work, too.
A boom mic works, yes.
Yeah.
But and particularly, let me tell you why I was particularly aggrieved by this. When Jesus locked all us inside so all us could watch church on Facebook, these productions were god-awful. They were horrendously bad, right? And Rev, the only person the anointing touching is you because I can't even decipher what you're saying. Right?
Yes.
Which means your production team, you should fire the whole lot of them. Get yourself a marketing expert like LaToya Hannah Monty so she could hire some dudes in here who at least have lapel mics.
Yeah.
So that we could make out what you're saying. Because when you start saying, fire, fire, we can't understand that. The only thing the fire touching is y'all. All right? So how important is good production quality in the monetization of your social media?
Well, I mean, I think it's one of the most important things to, if you're trying to reach an audience that you want to have a good quality retention, you want them to come back.
Mm-hmm.
You have to focus on visibility, good visuals,
mm-hmm.
The visibility of your show, what you're putting together.
Mm-hmm.
You made valid points. There are some entities out here, you say churches.
The church,
say
there was entities. Plenty of them.
I'm not trying to get striked out.
They had six members, all they changed life, and now it's suddenly on.
But
on TV.
Yeah, but making sure that you have someone who understands AV.
Yeah.
For starters. And when it's okay, so look at it this way. So when you put together your sermon, you don't just wake up on Sunday morning and start speaking. You take time to plan.
We hope.
well, yeah, for the most part, for the pastors that I am aware of, they take the time, maybe a week. They come up with a topic, and they start researching the scriptures with that about that topic. They want to understand and create or curate
the exegesis,
a story.
Exegesis is what it's called.
Yes.
Yes, they have two types. It's eisegesis and exegesis.
Well, there you go. So they have a plan and a strategy in place, and they and an outline. And that with that outline comes, what is our purpose? What are we trying to convey to our congregation today? And how is the best way to convey this message? Now let's start to writing. And you write it. Once you're done with that, then you want to make sure you go and rehearse. So some of them even get on the mic on the Saturday night or in the kitchen or wherever, and they go through their sermon and they're prepared. The same thing happens when you're creating good quality content on social media.
Okay.
So whether it's a church, whether it's a TV show, a vlog, whatever it may be, the same thing applies. You need to make sure I have a strategy, an outline, a blueprint. I find that some of the most basic equipment could give you the best work.
Okay.
So I'm not a huge, like I'm not movie, so I can't really go into the details of the dynamic. It depends on how big your production needs to be. But someone as small as a blogger, let's start with a tripod. Nobody wants to see you holding your phone in your hand recording yourself. You need to have something standalone that's not going to be shaky or dim lit. You need to make sure that you are in a room or an area that is quiet, that has either good insulation or sound blocking, wall panels or something of that nature. You want to make sure your lighting is good, for starters. So a lot of the tripods now come where you can hook up an iPhone 13 Pro. Well, that's the newest, but you can hook up a decent smartphone with a tripod and good lighting for a blogger. Now, when you start to get into productions like churches, again, you need to have a conversation with AV people. Start there and ask the right questions. What sort of equipment do I need if I'm speaking above a particular voice level?
Right.
Because that's where the problem happens for the most part. It becomes challenging to understand by the type of speakers and subwoofers that they're using, the type of mics and the mic quality they're using. Right. Do you even have Bluetooth capability that's connected to these equipment? How far can you go with the, do you have Wi-Fi connectivity? How far can you walk without it shaking, rattling? All that stuff is the things that you need to consider when you are purchasing equipment to record and to produce. And then the power of editing. I know a lot of the shows that come on TV are live shows, and there are mistakes. I mean, Murphy's Law takes effect for the most part. But understanding what quality equipment is, for starters, is, I mean, it's key number one. So, again, conversations with people like, I'm just going to name drop a few of them, like Jiggy Productions, with Movie Group, for instance. Conversations with people like them, even Jackson Petit, someone like who I've worked with in the past. These people don't necessarily, if you can't afford them to use them, that's fine. But having a consultation with them when you're recording, especially like the church
saga, it
was the church saga. Productions that we see, they have people that are on staff, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're the right
people. Johnson is not an AV guy. He know how to click the thing on and click it back off. He don't know nothing else.
Yeah.
That's why you sound like you in a trash can.
Yes, and making sure you have HD quality, especially in recording, that's important as well, because you could have everything else and then your visuals are trash.
And testing is also very big, because you need to know, if the anointing hit me, I only could run as far as hair to hair with the anointing, and I got to tell the anointing, let's turn back around and go to next week, because the camera can't see me. Those things are very important.
And trial and error and practice. I always say, with a good production crew, you can't just show up on the scene and start and press play.
Right.
You have to go through there. That's why you have dress
rehearsals.
Especially
if you're going to be live.
Exactly. That's why you have dress rehearsals. Right. You want to knock all the kinks out. And so you have to have the right people there to make sure that they know what they're doing. You're testing everything from the mic to the speaker to the Wi-Fi to the Bluetooth to even your voice. You're testing everything, and then you play back and see, because again, Murphy's Law will take effect.
What about safe personalities? Because this one is kind of a peeve of mine, right? Like, I feel like if you learn any, if you go to any one of
do
these...
Do you mean safe personalities or do you mean overused personalities?
They use them over and over
one
and over
the
because
same?
They're safe, right? So, you know, the person had one cliche. And if you've ever heard them speak one time, you literally never need to listen to them ever again. Right?
But give me an example.
Don't make me call names. Don't do that to me, because I'm from the Church of God, right?
I'm Catholic. I can't be involved.
Don't make me call names. But literally, you will see those people over and over and over and over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Largely because if you listen to them, this content is the most absolute safe thing you will have. There is no deviation from what is the accepted standard norm culturally, mm-hmm. or theoretically. They understand the cliches that people want to hear, right? So they understand things like, well, you know, it is not always about equality. Equity is very important, mm-hmm. and we have to ensure that we aren't just being equal, but that we are being equitable, because what matters to me may not necessarily matter to you.
So the politically correct folks.
Yeah, and if you listen to them one time, you never have to listen to them again,
because you feel like they come to say the same rhetoric each time. Got it.
But I understand that in the marketing or the marketability of social media, you mm-hmm. want to make sure that in order to brand build, people attach your brand to something, and that's why people do that kind of stuff. But is there a way around that? Because I ain't going to never listen to them.
So, again, because we're a small nation. We have less than 500,000 people here. Mm-hmm. So there's only so many people mm-hmm. you will find to do certain things with. I think one of the reasons why people seem to be so overused, even the politically correct ones, is because they've built a fan base. They have loyalty behind them, integrity and credibility behind them, because why else would you want to use the same person over and over and over again? I think their numbers speak for themselves. So that's part of the problem. We are not tapping into building the nano and micro influencer segment mm-hmm. of social media. When we start looking at quantity over quality, that's where the part of the problem comes from. So I think we need to stop looking at the quantity of numbers mm-hmm. and look at the quality mm-hmm. Of your engagement. Look at the amount of persons that are speaking positively or negatively about that person. Mm-hmm. Because I've had opportunities, I have people slide my DMs all the time and even approach me in person and ask me my thoughts on another influencer mm-hmm. And say things like they don't feel as though that influencer is believable. I mean, I've had it said about me too, but they would say, again, very judgmental industry it is, but they would say, oh, same thing you say. Every time I heard or see this one person, you see one picture, you've seen it all. Mm-hmm. How many times can you see the children? How mm-hmm. many times can you see the... Mm-hmm. People get tired of that. So mm-hmm. it's up to businesses to reinvent the wheel by tapping into nano influencers, mm-hmm. small influencers, because, again, it isn't always about someone who has thousands and thousands of followers. Mm-hmm. It's about the connectivity. Are you engaging with these people? Step out of the social media world. Actually do polls, do surveys, because the analytics will be there. People, sometimes, you know, payments nosy. They go into your page just to see it anyway. Mm-hmm. So your numbers grow in just out of the fact that they just want to look, mm-hmm. not necessarily because you're providing good quality content. Mm-hmm. So sometimes when people show their analytics and they see their reach so great, that's just because people want to talk about you, mm-hmm. not talk about what you're doing or what you're selling, what you're promoting, but just talking about you.
Yeah, I'm just trying to screenshot you, that's it.
Exactly. Yeah, that's, thank God for Snapchat and that feature that records when people Snapchat screen record you or screenshot you. I wish the other platforms would get on board with that. Oh, but
so many people would hate me.
But that's a good tool to have.
I screenshot everything.
Everything.
I screenshot everything. I'm not even going to lie.
But focusing on nano influencers or smaller influencers, I think is the way to go. Mm-hmm. Quality over quantity. And tapping into them, put them through the ropes.
But
ask the right questions.
What makes people lean towards those people, though? Like, why?
The bigger influencers?
Not even, I can't even say that they're big. I'm saying that they are the consistent ones, but that's because their message is consistent.
Yes.
Why would I feel safe going toward that as somebody looking for a brand ambassador or an influencer of some sort?
Why would you feel safe going towards the
I don't necessarily want the safest person. I want somebody that I think is believable or relatable, right? But that's not what we see here. We see familiarity a lot of times. Mm-hmm. We know that this is the
because their name is good. And their name is good, out there in the market. Mm. So depending on what they do, they may be considered an expert in that area.
Ooh.
So that's a part of it. If you are deemed an expert by way of somebody else dubbing that to you, or you, there's proof in the pudding with your work, mm-hmm. your certifications, or your talent, your performance. If you're considered an expert, then that's a seller right there. Mm-hmm. They're gonna say, well, I'm known for this. Mm-hmm. What I don't like seeing, and I've been seeing it a lot, is, again, you use the right word, familiarity. Mm-hmm. We're using people just because their name is popular,
right.
Not because what they like. If you're known for drinking coffee, why am I going to buy clothes from you?
Yeah, I don't know.
And that happens a lot. Yeah. If you're known for being a speaker on the radio, why am I going to watch you in a movie?
Because I may be multi-talented.
Yeah, but how would I know that? If I only know you for you speaking on topics that are given to you.
Mm.
So I think we have to start. We need to start creating parallels in the industry where we're focusing people on what they are good at,
mm-hmm.
and where the results are serving themselves. So people pay attention to someone like me in my on my blog or in my social media. They like to see fashion, style. Now, I'll be honest. Whenever I post my family, the likes go crazy.
Yeah.
But that's
because you have a cornflakes family, though. Like, if you ever see
a cornflakes family?
Yeah, y'all look like y'all go perfect on a cornflakes box. If you ever see LaToya's family, they really do. They look like, this is LaToya.
The cornflakes.
And here is her daughter, and here is her son. And here is her wonderful husband. And now they're on the box.
Well, we went viral one time. Yeah. We went viral, and not even...
See,
and
that, when like, I say that ain't viral, regular. Like, people, like, you don't just take a picture of your family and go viral.
No, it was insane, because we went viral. I posted one photo, and again, it's the power of hashtags. Mm-hmm. It was, and my family cringed. They wanted to be swallowed up and go under a hole because they were like, we didn't ask for this.
Yeah, yeah.
But I went viral. We were viral on Twitter back in 2018, I think it was. It was a family photo, and it garnered over 1.5 million views,
yeah.
and over 65,000 reshares.
I tell you, you belong on a conflict
box. And the comments were things like, oh, they must be Republican. They must be Republican. Wow. You could tell the kid plays golf and tries to be black and things like that. And I was like, okay, you know what? I don't think my family deserves this. Okay. But you use hashtags and you will be using the right hashtags, using the right keywords, understanding search engine optimization, understanding Google words, how to become searchable. Those are really important things. Just by me putting in certain hashtags that were attached to certain other platforms that had large followings, I was found in 30 seconds.
All right, we got about 2 minutes left. Let me see if I can knock out a couple of these text messages. This one just says, morning, Levin. I hear your guests talk about watermarking, and that too is not always safe. The hackers can also take your watermarked photo to use as their own. Speaking from experience, Facebook told me the hackers weren't doing anything illegal and I couldn't stop them.
Well, it's not about it being illegal per se by community guidelines or standards. It's about ownership. It's about stating that it's originally yours. So if they are profiting off of it or monetizing or being monetized from it, then that's grounds for a lawsuit. So it's more so protection than anything else.
This one here says, okay, I guess this was from the beginning of the show. So if Dr. Minnis was such a bad PM, how come the PLPs are keeping most of his initiatives? When are you getting your board appointment? After all, you and Clint worked very hard. Well, I want to say this. I have been appointed to a board under the FNM government, and I was wailing their backside then. I am not telling you that I am not for sale. Let me make this emphatically clear. I am not for cheap. You do not reach up under my skirt and fondle me for silvers.
This is above my pay grade.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
A board appointment isn't enough to stop me from being Levin Miller. LaToya Moxie, thank you so much for coming.
I wish we had more time.
I do wish we had more time. But listen, you have an open door policy, so you could just
very
come
true.
Whenever you want. But tell us where to find you before we leave.
You can find me at The Hannaway Group on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn, The Hannaway Group. You can find me on Instagram personally for lifestyle blogs at l.moxie. And I have a talk show that comes on every Sunday called A Seat at the Table. Just go into YouTube and search ASATT, the acronym A Seat at the Table, and you will find season 3 episodes.
There you have it. Anyway, you know, it's Friday. The rule, do all you can to make sure you don't kill nobody. More important than that, make sure nobody don't kill you. And if you do that, I'll see you back here on Monday. I'm Levin Miller. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news and smart talk. So don't move. The news, it happens now.
Justice is juxtaposition in us. Just